Reverend Olaf Fixitvite, the General Secretary of the World Council of Churches. You had your first meeting with Pope Benedict today. Can you tell us about your discussions?
Yeah, we had a very open and friendly conversation. He emphasized in a very kind and also very strong way the importance of the World Council of Churches' work and also the ministry I'm called to do as General Secretary. And he expressed his also his interest in how we are now developing, how we are now planning for the work we are going to do in the future. He has himself been involved in our Commission on Faith and Order. So he knows at least one very important dimension of our work very well. And he's, of course, very interested in how we then work with our theological issues and how we also strengthen the work of unity between, invisible unity between the churches.
The Faith and Order Commission, of course, is where the Catholic Church is a full part of the World Council of Churches, isn't it? Although there has been talk of expanding.
Yeah, it is one of them. We also have a full membership of the Roman Catholic Church in the Commission on Mission and World Evangelism.
Would you like to see the Church becoming a more full member of the organisation as a whole? Becoming more involved?
I hope that the Roman Catholic Church can be even more involved in the work we are doing. I'm not sure that the issue of a formal membership is the most relevant one and maybe not the most important one at the moment. But more, how can we strengthen already the strong cooperation we have? It is a cooperation in commissions, which we mentioned here. It's also a cooperation, for example, now in our own preparation for our own assembly in 2013, but it's also a cooperation that is going on every day. The World Council of Churches is a fellowship of churches around the world, and when I now travel around the world and meet with the member churches, in many cases they say a lot about how they cooperate with the Roman Catholic Church on the local and national level. So it for me it's much more than only the link between Rome and Geneva. This is also about how we cooperate as churches in many contexts around the world.
At grassroots level.
Yes, yes. And we emphasize that also in our conversation between His Holiness and myself, that, well, we have these important issues to deal with as leaders and as commissions, but also how are we every day responding to the call to be one in the local context and in what we do.
Talking about the contacts between Rome and Geneva, the Pope said recently that some people believe the ecumenical journey has lost its impetus, especially here in the West. And Cardinal Koch at the Council for Unity also talked about the controversial goal of ecumenism, saying the churches of the Reformation have perhaps settled for a kind of reconciled diversity, recognising each other's differences rather than seeking full visible unity. Do you agree with that?
Well, these are their words, and also it can be interpreted in different ways what they want to focus by saying that. I want to focus that on the fact that the World Council of Churches is a global organization, and it is an ecumenical organization far beyond Western Protestantism. So I'm not here as a Western Protestant leader. I'm here as a leader of this global fellowship of churches, particularly also including the Orthodox churches. Seen from my perspective, I see that there are signals that can confirm these interpretation of what's going on. But I see also other signals. For example, I see a strong commitment in many of our churches, also the churches in the West and the Protestant churches in the West, for, I would say, revitalizing the ecumenical agenda and revitalizing how we can respond to the call to be one in many ways. Not only in one way. I've tried in my speeches and in my conversation this year to remind the churches on this calling to be one and ask them, how do we respond to this? We can respond to it as a theological work. How do we find new ways of expressing what we have together in our common faith and also in our common ministry and in the sacraments? We can also respond to it in saying, this is also a call to try to do something together. For example, responding to injustices, to the needs of people around us. How do we do our mission? How do we share in the mission work? And I see a strong desire, and I would say also a strong tendency in many Western churches as well as churches in other parts of the world, to see this broad agenda of ecumenism as one agenda. Let me mention also that this year I've been invited both to the World Conference of the Pentecostal Churches and to the big evangelical event in Cape Town, their mission conference. And in both cases, they were very clear in their emphasis on saying that the evangelical and the Pentecostal churches also want to share in this one ecumenical movement. They are very strong in expressing their understanding of what has been the WCC's agenda, working for unity in faith, but also unity in common witness and common witness for justice and for care of creation and for peace. So in many ways, they are wearing our clothes, which we, the WCC, was known for in the 70s and 80s. And we have no strong signals that they want to share also this agenda within the ecumenical agenda. So therefore, it's important to see that the picture is much, much wider. I think that's my perspective.
Would you say that the most exciting, the most interesting things, the impetus that you're talking about that's needed for ecumenism today, do you see that as coming from the evangelical, the Pentecostal world today?
I see at least very strong impetus coming.
Can it revitalize the older churches, in other words?
Yeah, I think so. I said in Stockholm, in my address to the Pentecostal, that we need you, but I also humbly believe that you need us. And when I met with them, some representatives from Pentecostal churches later on, they have quoted what I said and said, this is exactly what we want to say. We believe that the ecumenical movement can give us a lot and that we have a lot to contribute. But I also believe that what you call the old churches also have a lot to offer in the ecumenical movement. And this meeting with the Roman Catholic Church today has been a very strong affirmation of that, in my view.
Another area that you were hoping to discuss with Pope Benedict is the question of the churches in the Middle East. Were you able to do that?
Yeah, we talked about how this is a great challenge for all of us. How can we support the Christianity in the Middle East? We realize that the number of Christians are diminishing, particularly in a context like Iraq, where they are fleeing from the country and the ongoing conflict. But also we talked about the situation in Israel and Palestine and how the churches there needs to have a united witness. I mentioned how much the Roman Catholic Church is important there and also contributing to the one ecumenical voice in Jerusalem. I think we also share a concern that we know that this situation for the churches in the Middle East is also related to the political context and the political realities, both in Palestine, Israel, but also in other parts of the Middle East, and that there is a need for building trust, continuing our commitment to dialogue, and also to encourage the political leaders to do what I think they know what they have to do, but they need the courage and the support to do it.
Next year's theme for the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity has been selected and developed, hasn't it, by Christian leaders in Jerusalem. Do you think this can in any way help this movement of the churches together to witness and to become a voice for change?
Definitely. And I mean, this is also a preparation made in a cooperation between the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity and the World Council of Churches. So it is in itself also an ecumenical important initiative to strengthen the, I would say, the visibility of the churches in the Holy Land, but also to bring to the whole worldwide Christian family their contribution. I mean, it's not only that we shall think that they are in a very difficult situation and we support them. They also have a lot to contribute. And I think this week of prayer will show that. They have a very deep reflection of the content and the meaning of the gospel and what it means to live in a context where the gospel was first preached and also first realized in a way. I hope that this week really can become a week where we see as Christians around the world that the Christians in the Holy Land are not only there to steward museums. They are living stones, they are living witnesses of the message of Christ in a very difficult reality, but in the same place as Christ lived and died and was resurrected. And they have a very special place in world Christianity. And I hope that this can really strengthen all of us in our way of accompanying them, but also, I would say, learning from them.
Just one final question. You have any plans at all to invite Pope Benedict back to Geneva, to the World Council of Churches?
Yeah, there is a standing invitation from my predecessor. And I hope that there will be a way to find a possibility for him to have that on the agenda and visit Switzerland and Geneva.
But no date set as yet?
No, but I hope that it would be feasible, yeah. It would be a great blessing for Switzerland, but also for the international work that is done in Geneva, what we do, but also what the UN is doing there.